This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who has covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically, the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here, the TK Show, with someone who I've had many times, often to kind of like designate when I've changed things.
Yeah.
I've changed recently, but not that recently. Mm-hmm. Talking to has changed. I think we even talked to you before once you've made this move or you're about to make this move. But I'm very happy to have him on now. Tom Tolbert, you know him, you love him, done all sorts of things. Doing a new thing now, which I am very curious about. Tommy, the Tom Tolbert podcast, what are we calling it? Stream, I think officially.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we tried to come up with something cute. But we settled on it. I always wondered when I was driving down the street and I saw a liquor store named Bill's Liquor. I'm like, well, couldn't you put a little effort into that? I mean, it's your liquor store. It's going to go with Bill's Liquor. And I settled on Tom Tolbert Pod. I mean, the double T, T squared, that kind of had it. I kind of thought about that. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, well, I want people to know, you know, whose podcast it is. And then it's what we settled on. I mean, this is what it is, and I don't know.
It's all about the SEO, right? Search engine. It's like when people want to type it in.
I'm still learning all that stuff.
That's it, exactly. Well, how's it going? You've had some really big time guests in your backyard, and some really really mealy mouthed terrible guests too. I'm not going to put myself.
I'm going to put you in the big time category. Now it's been fun. The backyard's been great. I love doing the backyard shows. It's such a cool vibe to be out there. And I love the backyard. I especially love that side of the house with all the foliage and everything. And then you get the cats running around, the bunny running around, the dog running around. So I just enjoy doing it out there. And, you know, it's harder now because there's only so many people here in the Bay Area that are willing to come to the backyard. You were, that Marcus Thompson was, Bill Martin, your friend and mine, Ray Ratto, Steve Kurtz. So, you know, I'm going to still try to get a few more people to come out to the yard throughout the course of the year. But and then doing it inside, I still have fun with it. It's not quite as much fun, but the backyard's been great. I've been enjoying the show just because I get to talk about what I want to talk about. I don't have to talk about what a station wants me to talk about or what they think I should talk about. And I don't have to say Giants 14 different ways in 12 different segments. That got to be so tedious after a while. And I totally get it. I understand it. And that's the same thing people do online now. It's all about the algorithms and, okay, what hits the algorithm? What song hits the algorithm? What words hit the algorithm? How do I set everything up based on the algorithm? And I just don't do that. I haven't done it yet. I just do a show that makes me happy, and I do a show that I hope people will find fun and the guests have fun on it.
Well, that backyard is unique. I've been there. It's a unique backyard. You have unique animals. I think one of them who's adopted Ratto as either a concubine or a best friend. I'm not quite sure.
I think it's a mix of both.
Yeah, I was watching, go, what is going on here? And then I go, that won't happen with me. And I go there, what happened to the dog?
Now, Lou gets everybody.
But you get to see how people deal with it. You get to see how you're going to deal with it. It's a unique atmosphere. I loved it. It's hilarious.
Well, you see, what I'm worried about is I don't know exactly how people are going to handle it. Now, everybody that's come into the house, gone to the backyard, I go, how are you with dogs? And everybody's good, so I just figured they're okay. But Lou's another level. Like, Lou's a different level up. She's not just a dog. She wants to jump in your lap. She wants to lick you. She wants to – and she's 9 and going to be 10 in about a month. So it's the most energy I've had dogs my whole life. I've never seen a 10-year-old dog with this much energy. So it's like, oh, my goodness. So, no, she gets everybody. She gets everybody. She got Ray. She got you. She got Marcus. She got Bill. She got Steve. She got whoever comes in the backyard, I just tell them, look, Lou will get you unless I put her inside. Oh, no, it's okay. And then about halfway through, they're like, hey, Lou need to go inside? Is she, like, missing anything in there?
Basically your co-host. It's essentially
my co-host.
Like Tom Tolbert Show co-host. The rabbit's cool. The rabbit's cool. They're not just kind of hopping around a little bit.
Yeah, she does her own thing. She's not all that intrigued. Although she is kind of intrigued by the show itself, because when I put her outside, she always goes and gravitates toward the corner when I'm doing a show out there. I don't know if she's interested in the show, or she just knows there's wires there and she likes doing wires. Oh my God. She's a wire chewer. I came in this room that I'm doing the show in, and she was behind. I kept hearing a sound. I was like, what is that sound? And I look behind the TV. I go, oh my God, the bunny's back there. I go, you need to get out of here. And then I looked even further. I go, what the hell you been doing? You're chewing up all the I go, what are you going to hotwire this thing? What are we doing over here? So I can
do our own podcast.
So I got to make sure she's outside of the doors or shut. We let her hop around in here like occasionally. But yeah, if you let her go on her own, she will find some wires and she will chew some wires.
It's the wildlife preserve.
It is. Absolutely. I'm Marlon Perkins.
Well, where do you see this going, Tommy? I mean, like, you know, this is so natural for you, which makes it so easy to be a guest. I mean, do you see a direction for this, or are you just kind of feeling it out right now?
I don't know what the direction is. Like, I like doing it like I'm doing it. Like, a few guests here, like people that I've met throughout the course of my career at KMBR and in the media here in the Bay Area, people that I respect, people that I like, people that I enjoy being around. Like, I'm not so much into... Like, I know it'd be great to break news and do those sort of things and you know, have, okay, this is this. But I just want to have people that I like sitting around shooting the shit with and just hanging out, maybe grabbing a beer in the backyard or whatever and just talking. So I don't know. Maybe at some point, you know, you start saying, okay, we need to get more people to recognize the show even exists and then try to make a, you know, I don't need to make a career out of it, but I'd like to have it do somewhat well financially, just not only for me but for Ogden and Max. But I don't know what that means. Like, I've always got into this business to have fun. I started the radio to have fun. I did TV to have fun. I just wanted to have a good time. I never looked at it as a business, and I never really sat down and said, okay, how do I make more out of this? How do I get more mileage? How do I get more money? I just wanted to have fun. I'm like the male version of Cyndi Lauper. I just want to have fun. So at some point, maybe we'll look and go, okay, how do we maximize this and try to really, you know, put the throttle down and see what we can make out of it. I mean, maybe we do that, or maybe we just keep doing this and that's enough. Because again, I'm not looking for it to be like Kelsey Brothers or anything close. But
and no, wait a minute, and your guest tomorrow is Taylor Swift.
Exactly. highly doubtful. Maybe I can get a rocker from the 80s that no one knows.
You probably could.
Yeah, I might be able to do that, but I don't know. I mean, I there are some people that I've wanted to have on that aren't sports figures, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where it takes us. But I am having a good time so far, and really, that's what I've done my whole career, is just try to, you know, make people laugh a little bit, have some fun, and talk some sports.
Well, you really look at it. I don't know. I'm just pulling out of my head. Like, you and Ralph were kind of like a podcast. Like, that was kind of like when radio was allowed to ramble. And I don't know. I mean, I got to believe there are times that you went right through commercial breaks. Because
I was on with you.
Like, this is like 40 minutes I've been talking with him. And there hasn't been a commercial break.
I'm going to give you an example. We'd go past the break and Tony.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Salvador, he used to run KMBR. He was, he looks like a mob boss. Great guy. I love Tony, but he looked a little like a mob boss. So Ralph goes over the clock and just burns right through it. And here's me sitting here looking at Tony on the other side of the glass. And then as soon as Ralph stopped, he would make a beeline to the studio and just rip him. I mean, the stuff that never happened today because, you know, everybody's too sensitive today. You can't yell at anybody anymore. Everybody wilts like flowers. He would just tear into him about the clock. And you could see it, too. All I'm doing is looking at Ralph and looking through the window. And Tony's just getting more mad and mad. And then Agnew would come in occasionally and rip him. And Ralph always made fun of me because while we were doing the argument, Ralph went over. We had papers back then. So I'd have my USA Today and I was like this.
Yeah.
And then Ralph inevitably would say, "Nice help, dickhead." Yeah. I didn't go over. I told you we got to like keep it within reason here.
It was amazing, but it was fascinating to listen to because, yeah, you kept going and with Ralph doing it maybe to the extreme when it was interesting. You just kept going. I always mention that Sabian, you know, the Scott Cousins.
Oh, yeah.
I'm listening to it in my car going, I can't believe I'm listening to this. And it just kept going and going. And it was fascinating. There were times when Ralph and I would yell at each other. And,
yes.
And Tommy would sit on the side and go, yeah,
like, I had the best seat in the house.
Yeah. And then eventually Tommy go, oh, no, okay, what do you really think about that 49ers quarterback? But it was kind of podcasty. It really was. It's just like you didn't know where it was going to go. You had the freedom. You weren't like just stuck on, okay, that was 12 minutes and now we're out. And it was, I just think that's, people want that stuff. I think podcasting is very much that. Obviously, it can go anywhere. You know, you get an interesting person on, and you just kind of just go with it. And I think this is going to be successful. I very much believe that. You get a few more guests like who like to deal with Lou, then it would be fascinating. I want to get Tommy going. This will not stand. Get this dog away from me. Live on video.
We'll deal with Lou for food. She's actually right here. She's laying right next to me. The only reason she's not in my lap right now is because she was fed about 20 minutes ago. So if it was around 2 o'clock, she'd be all up in my grill. Telling me I don't know how she knows it's 2 o'clock, but she knows it's 2 o'clock every day. So she's content right now for the time being.
All good. I think we like a content Lou. Don't want to get into like any kind of like radio is radio. We all know they're same thing with newspapers. It's very similar. And we both love those industries. But Tommy, I mean, you look at radio right now, you look at sports talk radio. I mean, what do you think? It's not a lot there.
No, there isn't. And I think it's harder and harder and harder for radio to make money. I knew years ago when a third of the ads we did were for, ED or boner pills, as they like to call it, whatever. I mean, just you start going, where are we getting that in 1-800 cars for kids? That, like, no one should ever worry about me and my mental health. Because if I can make it through 1-800 cars for kids for years, there's nothing going to bother me. There's just nothing that's going to bother me. But you listen to enough of that, you're like, well, God, we can't get any better than that. And that was like a few years ago. So, look, it's just harder for them to grab advertising dollars, so it's harder for them to keep talent there because they're not making as much money and they can't pay as much money because of the financials. And that's just the way it is. I think people, I shouldn't say they got tired of it. They just have other options now, so they're not always going to be gravitating toward radio when they want to hear sports talk, and I think it's going to fluctuate based on how the team's doing. It'll go up, it'll go down, and they're going to try to, it's almost like a GM of a baseball team looking at analytics for this and going, well, how do we make money? Let's get the younger guys in there and see if they can hit. Maybe we can hit on a few of them and that might work. But I don't think it matters who's there. I don't think it matters who you could pick your lineup if you want to right now for KMBR. And I'm not sure the way, the financial situation is in radio and the road it's going down. I'm not sure if anybody could help right now. So I still think it'll be there for Giants, let's say Warriors, local sports, and maybe they start having at some point, just pregame shows and just postgame shows. So it becomes kind of a, I don't want to say propaganda arm for the teams, but it's going to be, I think eventually, maybe not in the next couple of years, but 5-10 years from now, I just don't know how they're going to be able to afford like live programming. And maybe it's all syndicated, and then you have a post game, pregame, and that's it, and then you move on. But the hopes aren't great for radio going forward.
Well, you're not even mentioning the death knells when the teams just go, we don't need this. Well,
that's true. Yeah, if they go streaming. Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of waiting for the Warriors to do that. Let's just see, like they could just take the product elsewhere. I don't think they're getting a ton of money from 95.7, really.
Yeah.
Maybe I could be proven wrong. I'll probably get a phone call on that one. But I do have a relationship with the company, so maybe I shouldn't have said that. Okay. And then teams do their own thing, have their own. There's 24-hour wall-to-wall shows. Why wouldn't they do that? They're not there yet. Obviously, the Giants would have the most programming, and that would just be the end of KMBR, right? That would be it. No Giants on KMBR.
That'd be it.
That'd be a very, very rough place for them to be. Maybe they'd have some regular terrestrial radio, but oh man, I mean,
you're talking one show.
Yeah,
like one show a day, something like that, and then most of your content would be, you know, centered around Niners talk is what it would be. But look, as everyone gets a little bit older, and the people that listen to terrestrial radio and are the ones that don't like the streaming and don't like having to figure out all the newfangled stuff, like, they start dying off. And now you're going to get your kids that grew up with streaming, and they're going to be, you know, 40 years old, and they're going to be like, oh, this is like 50 years old. This is easy. And then, of course, all their kids, and then everybody's going to have stream. Everyone's going to know, like, oh, this, I can't believe you guys. They're going to say, I can't believe you guys ever did it another way, is what it's what it's going to be like. And of course, who knows? In 40, 50 years, you might just have a chip inside your head and be able to, like, turn your nose like a Bewitched, you know, wrinkle your nose and change your channels, be Elizabeth Montgomery out there. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to radio. But I agree that once the teams figure out, or once they see that you don't need radio because so many people stream. Now, I still think there is some value in being able to get in your car, turn on the radio, but a lot of people don't even have an AM radio.
I bought a new car, Tommy. I don't even know how to get AM. I mean, I don't think I have AM radio. Like, I put the podcast on, or I put music on and from my phone, and that is it. It's just, we'll talk about a little, like, you and I are about the same age.
Yep.
And like, we're kind of straddling, right? We're not ready to give up everything. We still have our memories, all the years where we read newspapers, all the years where we listen to radio, all the references that we have in our minds, or, you know, we grew up in the 70s and 80s, but mostly the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
But we're not ready to say forget all everything, right? So,
yeah.
Like, do you feel like you're straddling that? Yeah, you and I, we both made the move from the traditional established stuff to the new thing. Like, we're older than a lot of the people everybody who's on the new thing, but we're still on the new thing. Do you feel that a little bit, Tommy?
I don't know. I've always felt like a lot of my references are older, but I've always felt like that's the one thing I have, is I still have a kid's enthusiasm about doing stuff and having fun. And, you know, I laugh at stuff that probably, you know, 30-year-olds would find juvenile. They'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, I just, certain things I find really funny and humorous. And I've always come at this from that angle. But I'm with you. When I get to the car, it's podcast or music. That's it. I don't even, you know, I had XM radio for years, and I'm like, why do I need XM radio? I don't even need this anymore. All I need is a podcast. I need the music, and I'm good. And if I want to listen to a live game, I could probably, if I wanted to take the time, I'll download the MLB app, and then I'll just listen to the live games there. So I don't mean, radio to me is gone. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like then there's no doubt. The one thing I wish I would have done, like, you look back sometimes, like, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have seen the growth potential of podcast, right? Because when podcasts came around, you're like, maybe get coming with what? What is that? What? No one's gonna watch this. What are you talking about? Put in the car. And that's back when the show was doing really well, and it would have been very easy to, like, slip into a podcast and grow it. Now, not a lot of people were watching it back then, so you had to have the, and I think that was probably Joe Rogan's greatest gift. Like, his podcast, take it or leave it, whatever. I don't really listen to it. Every once in a while, I might find a guest interesting. I don't find his stand-up all that humorous, to be honest with you, but I mean, he seems like a cool guy. I like him on the UFC fights, but the greatest thing he ever did was realize the potential of podcasts. Like, early on, he, like, got it and saw where this thing was going. And I mean, that he was sharp on that one, because that one, you probably had to grind for a few years early where you're just building it. And then all of a sudden people are like, what are you radio for? Let me go to podcasting. I'll do that. And now there's, like, as you know, 5 million podcast. So I'm still kind of I'm with you a little bit, but I feel like, you know, I feel like I'll be 60 soon, and I feel like I've transitioned from the, I'm certainly not the guy that goes, oh my god, we're streaming, we got, oh, what are we doing here? Like, I just gave up. I cut the cord, as they say, and went to YouTube TV. And I go, what do I need all this other stuff? And the thing I love about YouTube TV is, you know how I love recording my games. Mm-hmm. They record all the games and they keep them there like indefinitely. So I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. I get to record on my college games, on my NFL games, basketball games. I go, I'm good to go. So yeah, I mean, streaming is cool by me, the podcasting, all that stuff.
Young at heart, young of mind.
That's
you
right.
You are, Tommy.
That's right.
Well, let's talk let's talk some sports here. I'm sure people, I do want to hear the media stuff. They always say that when I have people on, so I appreciate that conversation. We can have more of it. But John Kuminga, and you know the situation. We all know the situation. It's been the same situation. He's a rich restricted free agent, so the Warriors do control some of this. He wants a guaranteed role. You know Steve Kerr like I know Steve Kerr. I find it highly, 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 highly unbelievable that Steve would say, you know what? We're guaranteeing your role. It didn't really work with you and Steph and Jimmy Butler once we got him. But because you're the guy, let's give you a guaranteed role. It could be a conversation about what the role would be. But the money is obviously an issue. The role is an issue. Tommy, how does this resolve?
Well, look, it's not highly unlikely. That would never happen. Like, never in a million years would he say, here's your guaranteed role. That's just not going to happen. Like, everybody knows, you know your role. Like, you don't have to be told what your role is. You know what your role is. Steph knows his role. Jimmy knows his role. Draymond knows it. Everybody knows their role. And then other than that, guys know their roles can go up and down depending on performance and how the team's playing. That's the NBA for most of the players. In the NBA, I was one of those players. You know, Chris, Mitch, Timmy, when I played for the Warriors, they knew what their role was. We all knew what their role was. And they were going to keep that role from game one to game 82. Everyone else, subject to change. That's just what it is. Now, where the rub comes in is Kuminga thinks he should be one of those guys that has a defined role. Like, he puts himself in that category of player that he thinks he can be a lead dog. Like a one or a two, and he can get you 20-something points if he plays 30, 35 minutes a night. Now, I left out rebounds on purpose because I'm not sure what he thinks he can rebound. That's part of the problem is, and that's part of the problem I had with Wiggins was like, guy, you're 6'8". I think Kuminga's 6'9". You rarely get out-athleted on the court. And you're pulling down like 3.5 rebounds a game. I mean, to me, that's like lack of instinct and lack of desire. And it just there's many reasons Kuminga doesn't quite fit here, and he might fit somewhere else. I've said it before. Kuminga may be one of those guys who gets 20-8 for a team that wins 31 games. I mean, there's a lot of those guys around the league, and there's always been a lot of those guys around the league, guys that look incredibly talented, super athletic, and the average fan is wondering why the hell, you know, a team got rid of him or why a good team can't grab this player, always available. Well, that's why, because they don't affect winning. And right now, Jonathan needs to figure out how he can affect winning. It's not about getting in the gym and working on your moves and your spin moves and your ball handling and this and that. It's watching film, understanding where to be on defense, understanding how to get to the glass, when to go to the glass, reading the ball, something that he could have very easily asked Looney when Looney was here. Like, how do you read the ball when it's coming off the rim? I mean, hell, I did that. It's like, okay, the ball's shot from the corner. If he misses, it'll probably end up in the opposite corner. Okay, let me plan accordingly and get there early and stake my claim for where the ball's going to be. Or if it's shot from the wing, it maybe end up in the other wing or at the free throw line. Like, you do stuff like that. You anticipate. You try to stay ahead of the chains, as they say, instead of behind the chains. And, you know, I think Jonathan finds himself behind the chains too often where it's just – a half beat slow. The read's not quite there. He'll get the ball on the wing and square up. And it's the pass is there, and that would have been the play. Swing and cut. Like, he's got to be a better cutter too. But, you know, it's not swing cut. It's hold, and then, you know, oh, that's not open anymore. Let me just, you know, go one-on-one and see if I can use my spin move. And look, I know I'm killing him right now, but he is talented. The guy can score. The guy is a force when he gets to the rim. He's their best player outside of Jimmy Butler at getting to the free throw line. So there's something there. it's just got to be harnessed in a way that affects winning, not just gathering points and gathering stats. That doesn't work. And I think that's, you know, ultimately what Steve's been trying to get to with him. And, you know, it's tough when you have a player come into this situation. You got veterans on the team. They're trying to win a championship. You want a bigger role. You're not getting that role. And you're being asked to do things like you're being asked to run the court, which he should do every single time. You're being asked to hit the glass, which he should do every single time. You're asked to, you know, take, you know, corner threes if you're open, and not wing threes with 20 seconds left on the shot clock. And then defensively, be in the right spot. Know what you're doing defensively at all times. But he wants more than that. And I would too if I were him. Like, I'm a young guy. I want to make my mark in this league. And I want it. So it's like a clash of like visions. Like, one vision is, hey, you can help us win, but this is what I need you to do. And the other one's like, no, you can win because of me if you just let me go out there and do my thing. So, yeah, how's it going to work out? I don't know. My guess right now is, if I had to just guess, if they don't trade him, he'll take the qualifying offer. Because I wouldn't, if I'm him, I'm not signing that deal that gives the Warriors the option in the second year. I'm just not doing it. I'm not going to say, okay, you can sign me, and then you can decide whether I can be a member of the Warriors or not the following year. That's just not going to happen. So if I were him, I'd sign the qualifying offer and then be an unrestricted free agent next year. Now, that puts the Warriors in a bind, not only from a, well, we might lose him for nothing standpoint, which rarely ever happens. Usually they're always signing trades because everybody wants to keep that salary spot open, right? Where it's like a $30 million salary spot or $25 million, whatever it may be, that now you can trade. It's a, you know, I tell people, it's like when D'Angelo Russell signed here, he wasn't worth $30 million, but it was a $30 million spot that they could trade. And that was Wiggins. You know, that ended up matched up with Wiggins, and then they get the draft pick to go along with it. So there's a lot of moving parts here. I think both of them are kind of staring at each other right now, going, okay, who's going to blink first? But if I'm the Warriors, that's probably what I would offer. And if I'm Kuminga, I would say, not a chance. I'm going to sign that with a team option for a second year.
$14 million difference, Tommy, though. That's 7.9, well, 13 plus. $7.9 million if the qualifying offer.
Yep.
They, you know, it's not refuted. They're offering over $21 million for the first year.
Yep.
So you'd walk away from that $13+ million.
Well, if I were him,
he might never get that back.
He may never get that back. He may end up being Juan Gonzalez. I don't know. Of course, that's $150 million. But look, if you believe in yourself like he believes in himself, like that, you want to tie yourself down for another couple years. He doesn't want to do that. So I think there's still some people in the league that value him and believe in him. Obviously the Kings and Phoenix came in, but their trade offers were light, just to put it mildly. But I'd bet on myself. Yeah. I mean, you get injured, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen. You get injured, you're screwed. And you could make an extra $14 million. That's great, but it's still not, you know, going to set you up for the rest of your life. Type of money, because obviously if you got hurt, they'd probably get rid of you the second year or waive you the second year because they would have the option. That's the problem. If I was Kuminga and you gave me the option in the second year, then yeah, of course I would sign that. You know, I get the extra $14 million, and I have the option to sign or not. And probably, like, he's not going to, but at least it gives you that protection. Like, if I do get hurt or something else happens, I can pick that up and get paid for the following year as well. But look, this is going to be so much better for the Warriors and Kuminga when they both go their separate ways, because I know there's a number of people in the organization that think he needs to move on. And I know Jonathan thinks he needs to move on. And like, they just, it happens in the NBA where you just, you know, philosophical differences. I mean, bands break up all the time over philosophical differences. So it's just one of those things where he feels like, hey, I'm ready. I want to lead this pride now. I mean, I'm the young lion. I can do this. And they're like, no, I'm not quite yet. The old lion's still pretty good. And we're going to ride that one for another year or two. And he's getting frustrated and he's getting antsy. And he's like, I'm ready to go. Let me loose. And they're not letting him loose. So, you know, It two timelines sounded good,
but it didn't quite work that way.
So, like, I think Warriors would be much happier. He'd be much happier if he were in a different uniform next year. Will that happen? I don't know.
Actually, really quickly, not asking you to speak for your friend Steve Kerr, but he's on a 1-year contract. Steph and Draymond and Butler are all on two. Steve has said he's very happy just go year to year, but can you see him leaving after this year? Would he want to, could he picture that?
I could. I don't see it, but I could. It wouldn't shock me if Steve called me one day and said, yeah, I think I'm hanging it up. You know, I wouldn't be totally shocked, but I still think back to Greg Popovich. This is probably like 15 years ago. And I go, how long are you going to keep doing this? When Tim Duncan retires, I'm retired. How'd that go? I mean, he blew right by Tim Duncan's retirement. So much so that Tim Duncan ended up being an assistant coach for him for a year. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, health concerns, he won't be coaching anymore. But if not for that, he'd still be coaching because he loves the coach. He loves the competition. And I think Steve feels that way. Like, Steve is so competitive and he loves the juices and he loves this. I think this is what he was born to do type thing, where he knew early on that he wanted to coach. And now that he has his own team, he's at it for a while now and they won championships. And I don't know if there's anything better. Him feeling this way, but I don't know how long he wants to be on the sideline per se. I think at some point, you know, maybe he'd like one of those Pat Riley gigs where you kind of run the operation, but you're not traveling, you're not on the plane, you're just based at home, but you still have a large voice in the organization. I think at some point he'd probably like that, but I mean, this guy, people don't understand how competitive this guy is. You don't see it as much, because as a coach, you don't see it. The fire's there. People see that. You don't know how competitive a role player is. Everybody knows how competitive Jordan was and how competitive, you know, Rodman and Pippen and all those guys were. But, you know, Steve was just as competitive as all those guys. Just, you know, he's a role player playing 20 minutes a game, so you don't necessarily see the fire in a guy like that. Although if you watched him closely, I mean, he got into a few scuffles. I mean, obviously the one Jordan, but I'm talking about with other teams, not teammates on the court. Like he could be a little nasty. It wasn't John Stockton nasty, but he, you know, I practiced against him for a year. He, you know, he gets in there and he doesn't back down from anybody. And he just has that fire in him. And that was as a player. I mean, he loved playing too, but I think he loves coaching more. So I don't know. I did. If he says I'm done, I wouldn't be surprised. But if he coaches another 5-6 years, I might be a little surprised at that, but not completely shocked.
Hard to see this team with Steph Curry not have Steve Kerr as his coach.
That really is.
You're going to have Steph play his final years with a new coach and adapt to him. That seems difficult. And I wouldn't want to put Draymond on a new coach either.
Like, ooh, that'd be rough, wouldn't it?
A little difficult. We'll see.
Especially an older Draymond.
Yeah.
How about Draymond reprise the Bill Russell role, player coach?
I think he would volunteer himself for this.
There's no doubt. He wouldn't even charge anything. Oh, yeah, I can coach. Let me coach a team. He'd get thrown out. So your assistant coach would coach about 43 games a year because Draymond would get thrown out of more than half of them.
It would be something to watch, and I'm sure Draymond. When that happens, here's the sets I'm going to use. Here's the action I'm going to use on the pin down. I'll wrap this up with a versional question I've asked you many times to ask all my guests, and I love it. The Tommy answers are tremendous.
Yep.
Maybe ask you two versions, but one.
Okay. Tommy,
what's your favorite TV show right now?
I just finished Shrinking. On Apple TV. Have you seen that one?
Yes, I loved it.
It's so good.
Surprisingly loved it. I thought it might be a little too touchy-feely, but it actually was really good.
That's what I thought. Harrison Ford was a riot. Like, I mean, the cast was great. The writing was great. And my wife and daughter have been trying to get me to watch it. Like, you know what? Have you watched it yet? I'm like, no, I haven't watched it yet. So I finally watched it, and I couldn't get enough. I was just like zipping through it, and just again, if you've been thinking about watching, I would definitely, definitely watch it. That's really good. I just watched my wife is telling me this for like a few years now, Broadchurch.
Okay.
I watched that one. It's a BBC. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if I can get season two or three. Like, it seems like all the BBC stuff is like really good. Like, I watched Luther, Idris Elba. That one's really good too. The obviously different type of shows, but yeah, I just, those two, I'm not sure what I've got on tap. Like, I'm running out of stuff now. Like, I feel like I'm getting to the point where it's like, okay, what's out there and what can I watch to, have you seen Smoke on Apple TV?
No, I don't think so.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Cause I read a little snippet of the review after I started it. And it said the exact same thing that I was feeling. Like, I was an episode and a half in. I'm like, do I want to continue watching this? Like, I don't know. This kind of like, I feel like I'm in mud and I'm just like, it's really just trying to get through this. It's not. And it said, don't go away until you get like to the third episode. That's when it really starts kicking in. And it was like, so true. Like, by the time the third episode kicked in, I'm like, oh, I'm all in. And I was like, just rolling through them. So, I would definitely recommend that, but going in, I'm going to tell you, the first two episodes, you're going to be like, why? That Tom Tolbert guy's an asshole. Why did he get me to watch? Why did he get me to watch this stupid show? And then that third episode, you're going to be like, okay, let's go. So it's going to seem formulaic. It's anything but.
I'm going to throw one at you. You know, I'm a rock and roll documentary guy. I love them, and I love great ones. I don't know if you watched the Billy Joel documentary on HBO.
I did. Loved it.
Oh, my God. Loved it. Good. That was so good.
Yes,
and I'm
wasn't
not a Billy Joel guy at all, but I'm watching that, and it's like, I feel like I'm being nourished by this. Like, this is exactly what I like. Like, that is I cannot stop watching great, really well-produced and reflective, like not just promo, you know, not just ego, like really reflective, self-deprecating at times, and to the elements of how this music happened was fantastic. God, I love that.
No, I thought it was great. Like, I didn't realize he met his first wife through his friend, and it was I don't know if he stole her or what. That was kind of a weird dynamic. Yeah. So, and then she ends up becoming the manager.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff in there, and I like Billy Joel, don't love him. Like, I couldn't go to a concert and say, play me any 20 songs and I'm good. Like, it's probably about 10, maybe 12. There's more than you think. You start going down the list, you're like, oh damn, that's a good one. That's a good one too. Did you see The Making of Led Zeppelin?
Yes, I did. Yes,
that was good too.
It was good. It was not as well produced.
You know, no, not as well produced.
Didn't have as much time with the members. Really didn't have much time. But no, it was really well done. I mean, I love the storyline. The storyline was really well done.
It was cool because it didn't get into any of the Led Zeppelin, like the popular. It was like, that's what it was, the making of Led Zeppelin. I think some people are like, wait a minute. We're just getting started here. I was like, well, no, it says it in the title. The making. Yep. This is just the making of Led Zeppelin. And I liked when they touched on them and Black Sabbath and how they kind of commingled. And I guess they're buddies, they're all friends and everything, and they're so different, right? Led Zeppelin was more bluesy and Black Sabbath was more like just dark, and you know, they got this whole Satan vibe and just strictly heavy metal. But you know, to come out of England and be kind of the pioneers of heavy metal, and just about every heavy metal band today, you look back at their influences, it probably traces back to one of those two bands. Either it's Black Sabbath or it's Led Zeppelin. But yeah, I agree. It wasn't as well done, but very entertaining as a Led Zeppelin fan.
Music documentaries, man. And really quickly, you got any book recommendations for me, Tommy?
Well, now I'm not going to recommend you read this one. But so I am reading a Michael Connelly book right now. My mom got me into Michael Connelly, and they're really good, and they just like fly by. Like on my plane flight, I'm going to bring him, and just like boop, boop, boop. You know, it's just easy reading. This one is not easy reading, the one I'm going to tell you I'm reading right now. It's a little bit of a struggle to get through. It's called The Hammer of the Witches.
Okay.
And it's a text that its origin dates back to, I think, 1485 is when it was written. And what it is a, I'm getting to the, I guess they call it the papal bull, which is a decree from the Pope and the Catholic Church. And it's about witch hunting, basically, is what it's about. And how to identify, and they call it sorcery more so back then. How to identify sorcerers, why sorceresses are more predominantly female than male, how to, and then I'm getting to the point where they're, how to recognize them and then what to do about it. And just, it was, it has to deal with the witch craze of kind of 1485, but it's not really like a story. This is the actual text. I can't remember the name of what it was called back then, but it was a manual. Like, this is how we're going to treat they didn't call it the witch craze, but how we're going to treat suspected witches and how we go about finding out who the witches are and why this is such a big danger to society and why is it such a big danger to the church. So again, it's more texty than flowy. And you know, it's probably one of those where I've been reading it 20, 25 pages at a time, just trying to get through it. And the only reason I got it, I would have never just like said, well, hey, yeah, that looks interesting. Let's grab this.
Barnes and Noble walking by.
Yeah, exactly. I was reading the book Nexus, the same guy that did Sapiens.
Yep.
Who I love. I love all his books. They're incredible. And he mentioned this and mentioned it in reference to things that now seem like almost impossible to believe that back then people actually believed in. Now, there were people back then that didn't necessarily buy all this either, but there are people that bought it. And it got me thinking, when you go back during COVID, let's say a number of years ago, and it still happens today, but when they were tearing down the statues here in the city because of what people did 200 years ago and 250 years ago, whether it was owning slaves or the way they, the whatever. And I was like, yeah, but you can't expect people in 1750 to have the same morals that we have. Like, obviously, there's a lot of stuff a lot of people looked at, and like a lot of people back then knew that owning slaves was wrong and wanted no part of it. But that wasn't just America. This is a part of, you know, the culture around the world. That's basically how the world was built for the most part. But I it got me thinking, like, well, how could people think there were witches? Like, it's so absurd. The notion is absurd that there are witches, like, and you're going to actually burn them at the stake. And really, it was justification for if someone didn't believe in the church doctrine, if someone didn't adhere, then you could just call them, you know, say they're a witch, like they're a witch, and there's nothing they could do about it. Like, basically had no recourse at all. And I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of people back then, just to kind of, we got an intruder. Here she comes.
It's a witch talk. Here comes the cat.
Yeah, exactly. Not the black one, though. So anyway, I guess you asked me for a book recommendation, but I'm telling you what I'm reading. I don't know that I'd call it a recommendation per se, but I will say this. It's one of the reasons I bring up the morals thing is I just absolutely hate when people try to compare. I don't take basketball for an example. Try to compare players of today versus players of like the 60s and early 70s. They're like, oh, Cousy couldn't do this, or this guy couldn't do that. Are you kidding me? Those guys are firemen. Those guys are this. Those guys are that. And I'm like, look, you can't just take someone from like 67 and drop them into 2023, 2000. Okay, it didn't work that way, okay? If you were to drop a great player from 1967 into today's game, they'd have knowledge of nutrition. They'd have knowledge of, I mean, well, one, they wouldn't be working. They'd be practicing basketball the entire time. You know, as far as anatomy and health and all that, they'd have more of a knowledge of that. And then conversely, if you take a player from 2025 and stick them back in 67, they would have none of that. They'd be working during the offseason. They wouldn't make as much money. They wouldn't. And you can't just take a guy from 2024 and expect, I'm going to bring everything with me that I know in 2024, and I'll know it in 67. No one on the face of the earth will know it, but I'll know it. And you can't take the guy from 67, move him up, and say, he's the only guy on the face of the earth that doesn't know this stuff. Go ahead and compete. Of course he can't compete. My point is, things change. over time, and people have to understand they change, and you can't have the same mind for the same mindset you have now and look back and go, I would never do that in 1954. I would never do that in 1937. I would never believe in any of that. There's no way no, you don't know that, because your whole entire existence would be different from birth on. And you can't say that you, and so it just, it bothers me when people do that. And I think it's intellectually dishonest when people say, oh, this guy would, can you imagine putting this guy in on this? Oh, they'd kill the Celtics. Look at this. I'm like, that's just so stupid. So that's actually part of the reason I wanted to read that book. Cause I was like, I'm trying to, when I read it, I try to put myself in the mindset of people back in 1490. And I'm like, cause look, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, fucking witches, seriously, guys? I mean, that's what we're going with. But I mean, yeah, that was like a real thing. People actually thought that existed. So again, I'll give you one real quick though. Earl Weaver, read that one if you haven't read it. It's a really, really good book. It's a funny read. Earl Weaver is a character. Baseball misses that. Baseball misses a few things. I still think I like the new rule changes, but it misses bullpen carts, where the guy coming out of the bullpen's picked up in a cart, like Mr. Met with the big head.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're missing Morgana, the kissing bandit. We need more of that in baseball and all sports, let's be honest. And then we miss managers that have personality. Mm-hmm. I mean, we miss Earl Weaver. We miss Sparky Anderson. We miss Tommy Lasorda. We miss Lou Piniella, Whitey Herzog. I mean, I can go Billy Martin. I go on and on and on and on and on. Like, I think I miss it. And that's where maybe younger people who didn't get to experience don't miss it. Like, oh, that just sounds stupid. But they were part of the show. Earl Weaver knew he was part of the show. He wanted to be a part of the show. He actively participated in it. And it was good theater. It was entertainment. So I love that book. I think you'll like it. And I think it brings up an interesting point that I've been asking this question for a few years now. Each sport is optimized now. Each sport is way more efficient than it used to be. Is each sport more entertaining than it used to be? And I think there's a lot of cases where you can look and go, no, it's not more entertaining than it used to be. It's more efficient than it used to be. Each team is run more efficiently. Each squad is put together more efficiently. Each team performs at closer to maximum efficiency than they did back in 2000, 1985, whatever. But is it more entertaining? I'll argue with somebody that it is not more entertaining than it was back in my heyday of watching sports.
All right, Tommy. With that,
I took up my own time. What are you talking about? You didn't take up any of my time. I just kept going. You were done. I just kept going. That was the pod. See, that was the podcast you were talking about. You just like keep going.
There it is. The Tommy Tolbert went through many different things there, many different concepts and issues. It was all good, but no, it was. I just happened to have gotten a text from someone I've written about recently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
While you were going through that, so I got a little distracted myself. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no, that's okay. Yeah, well, you can just thank me then. I just carried you right through that segment.
Tommy?
It wasn't even a segment.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I got about three different books that were recommended there, and you know I value your book recommendations, you know that.
Don't get the Hammer of the Witches, though. I'm not telling you to. I'm not recommending that.
Yeah, don't do that. That's a weird Colbert thing. Yeah,
that one's on you.
Yeah, that one I'm not doing, but everything else. I'm sorry, laughing. I did get distracted in the middle of that, and I went, wait a minute, he's talking about what now?
You're
going
to have to go back and see how I got there.
All right, I'll tell you off.
That was going to be the name of my podcast, Tim, Non Sequitur with Tom Tolbert.
Yeah, that wasn't non sequitur, but it was close to non sequitur.
It was close.
You used to, when I remember I had Ralph on my podcast, and Ralph just, we did a good show, whatever, and then the last 40 minutes, so, hey, can I go off on my own here? And he went 40 minutes of Ralph. You texted me right afterwards. You go, see what I do.
Hey, there was one time. He went because we do the pregame hits with the talk back with the Giants announcers, and John Miller was on one time, and I remember this is back in our old studio, 55 Hawthorne, and we were next to a craft beer place called Thirsty Bear, and it was one of the first ones in the city, I think. And I used to go there before work every once in a while, have a beer, come over. There was one I threatened I never did this, but I wanted to see if I'd get away with it when John Miller was on, because John and Ralph, it's one question and then that's it. It's over. They're both going to just crush the clock. So Brian Smith, who you know very well,
sure.
I told Brian, I go, hey, do you think if we start this thing, I could run across, get a beer, drink a beer and come back and I could ask the next question? Yeah. I go, do you think I could pull that off? He goes, I don't know. You should try it though. That'd be amazing. I wish I would have done it, because I think I probably could have gone down to the lobby, got a beer, drank a beer, and got back in 5 minutes. Then I think that might have been good enough, because all you got to do is say hi to John, and he goes on forever. But as we know, Ralph never says just hi to anybody. He asks a question, answers it, and then re-asks it. And then who's ever answering it goes on and does their thing.
And tells you your answer is actually wrong. Here's what the actual answer is.
I love him so much.
He was great. He was awesome.
I loved him so much.
All right, Tommy. I've got to go now, actually. So thank you for taking up all my time.
On your podcast. Yeah, you're welcome.
I have to deal with some things here. But Tommy, as always, wonderful to have you on.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, great. We'll do it again soon, whether it's me on your show, you on my show. Always
absolutely.
Tommy. Everybody, absolutely. That's a show for today. I'm sorry for the way this ended. That's my fault, but some things happened here. All right. Everybody, see ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.